Welcome to the first 2019 edition of the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton's women's lacrosse coach, Chris Saylor. And coach, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. It's great to be here starting off a new year.
It's a new year, and we were just talking before we got started about the headphones. And, you know, we couldn't, it's been so long since you've done one of these that you couldn't remember if you wore the headphones or not. And would you like to share at least why you chose not to wear the headphones?
Come on, Jerry. Well, look, I didn't want to mess my hair up. Yeah, I've got a lot of the day left.
There you go. That's a great excuse. So we're going to try to do this every Thursday for Courtney Manghart's podcast. We tried to do every Tuesday, but then the schedule got a little messed up, so we had switched to Wednesday. But we're going to try and do every Thursday for this for the year. You have some Wednesday games, so it'll give us a good opportunity in those weeks to talk about you know, those games after they've been played as opposed to on the day of the game. So we're going to go for every Thursday for this year for the Chris Saylor Show. And for you, it's you know, before we get into your team and before we get into where practices are and all those kinds of things, you know, you enter the season with 399 career wins. Only one other coach has ever gotten to 400 in Division One, and that's Cindy Timshaw.
And she's at 500, yeah, I believe. So
she's over 500, yes. But, you know, everybody says numbers don't matter, and, you know, there's not really that big of a difference between 400 and 399, but how big a deal is that to you?
Honestly, I don't know that that's a big deal to me at all. I think it's a bigger deal to other people. So, you know, I'm sure it'll be nice when it happens, but it really just reflects the long career that I've been able to have here. And I just feel so fortunate and grateful that I've been able to, you know, to build the program at Princeton and have it be successful over a long period of time and recruit great kids and great families to Princeton women's lacrosse, and kids who really give their all for me and for the team, and to work with unbelievable assistant coaches. So, you know, you might say I have that record, but it's really the teams over the years that have that record, and I'm fortunate to have been a part of it all.
So do you get the same level of excitement heading into the season that you have always gotten, or is it different? Or
Yeah, really, I still do, and that's one of the reasons that I'm still coaching.
Coach Tierney always said that, you know, like, what's left to prove? And he's like, well, each year is its own challenge. Each year is exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Every year is different. Every team is different. Every schedule is different. And I think when you get to the point where it's, you know, it's just ho-hum and it's not exciting anymore, or you don't get the nerves going, or, you know, maybe you don't have a few sleepless nights, then, you know, maybe it's time to hang it up. But I'm really excited for the season this year, for the group of players that we have, and eager to get it going.
So as you go down the path of preseason, it's changed a lot. It used to be a very elongated preseason, and now you have very little time actually to prepare your team.
Yeah, it's funny because every year the kids are like, you say this every year, but it's been true. Like, we have every year we have one or two less days of preseason as the games just get pushed up. So this year, really with 2 weeks of preseason, you know, it's challenging to be ready to play in just that amount of time. But I give our players a ton of credit. They've really worked hard over the last 3 months to put themselves in a good position, really ready to go on day one, our first day of double sessions, which was Friday, Feb 1st. And they've been looking really good. So, you know, we won't have everything perfected and in at the point of our first game, but we'll certainly have enough to be able to compete at a high level.
And that first game is February 16th, so a week from Saturday against Temple on Sherrod Field at 52 Stadium. Start of a pretty good schedule for your team, a lot of good teams.
Who made that schedule?
It's a good one. I mean, it's very challenging. You've added two teams that are great additions. One is Stony Brook at home, who spent almost all of last year as the number one ranked team in the country.
Yeah.
And then the trip to Florida, who's a, well, you want to call them a top five team, top four, yeah, team, whatever they are in the rankings, and it's a chance to get to Florida over spring break. So
yeah,
whoever made the schedule wanted to challenge her team.
Absolutely. I mean, I've always believed that, and I learned that from my college coach, Carol Kleinfelder, that if you want to be the best, you have to play the best and beat the best. And so we've always had challenging schedules at Princeton. I think this year, knowing the returners that we had, we thought we could bump it up even more. And so we added those two pretty incredible programs to the schedule. So it's
which includes, you know, all the usual suspects of the Maryland, Virginia, Penn State, Loyola. I'm forgetting,
yeah,
somebody, I'm,
yeah,
sure, off the top of our
absolutely
head.
So we don't have too many games that aren't going to, you know, every game we play is going to be competitive, and I think our kids get really excited to play those, you know, such high level competition game in and game out. you know, it's not a schedule that you make if you want to be undefeated necessarily. But, you know, I think it'll be good for us to test ourselves against really top competition and see what we can do out there.
So you mentioned the change in the amount of time that you have in the preseason. And, you know, obviously the fall is much different than it was years ago. But what do you think of how early lacrosse is starting? On the men's side, there have already been, I think it's 14 Division I games that have been played. This weekend, there's, you know, maybe 30 or 40, maybe more Division I women's games.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, this is opening weekend coming up for the rest of Division I. Ivies, we start 1 week later. You know, I think it's been positive in that it does spread the games out. When I first got here, we didn't start playing until the middle of March, usually around March 15th. But then you'd always play two games a week, and occasionally you'd play three games a week. And so you're really cramming a lot into 6 weeks, getting all of your games in. And so that takes a different toll on your players physically and preparation-wise. There didn't used to be as much scouting and, you know, more as much nuanced preparation for each team as there is now, when it's more like a football or, you know, model where you're really doing a lot of prep. So it has allowed the games to spread out. It's given you more preparation time, more scouting time for each opponent. But, you know, I don't know of too many people who want to sit in the stands. This weekend is our first scrimmage. We're playing the NIAC club team, which includes a lot of our former alums and other top Division I and U.S. team players, so that should be fun. But it's going to be a 16-degree wind chill. You know, I don't know how many people are really excited to come out and watch, you know, games in this weather. But everybody's getting started this weekend. It kind of
and the other problem is what it is. The other problem you have with that is – if you know, everybody's conference schedule gets backed up into April and that occupies all your weekends. So if you want to play really strong non-conference teams, you either have to play them now or during the week in the middle of the year. And, you know, if you look at your game against Virginia, which is the following week, or Penn State after that, when it comes to NCAA tournament selections, they're not going to say, okay, well, those two teams played on, you know, in February when it was cold out. They're going to say, okay, this team beat that team, and okay, that counts the same as if that game had happened on a 65-degree day in April.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's the same for both teams. When we're playing Virginia or Penn State or Stony Brook early, it's going to be what it's going to be for both teams. So it, you know, really is a level playing field in terms of that, maybe not in terms of the preparation, the amount of practice we've had throughout the year. But, you know, whenever you play a team, you just got to bring your best and you just got to be ready to compete. I'd rather be able to play those teams early than not play them at all. So
your team in the preseason is ranked in whatever poll you want to look at is, you know, 8, 7, 9 range. Probably a good starting spot. Do you pay any attention to that kind of thing? And the other thing is, do you pay attention where the other teams in the league are ranked? Because in one poll, I saw Penn was ahead of Princeton, but in most polls, Princeton is 3 or 4 spots ahead of Penn, and there's Dartmouth.
Look, I'm not going to lie. You certainly like to be the lead team in your conference. I mean, no one likes to have another conference team ranked ahead of them. So, you know, that's nice to see. But the preseason rankings really mean nothing, and we really stress that with the kids. That's a reflection of how you did the year before and maybe a look at who may be coming back. But the only thing that matters is what happens on game day, and really even the early polls really don't mean much. It's how you progress through the course of the season, and you only have to look at last year where we started 4-4 and then took off after that. So it really just depends upon what you do on game day and how you improve over the course of the season and trying to peak at the right time as you're heading into your, you know, the bulk of your conference games, and then if all goes well, into playoffs.
So let's talk a little bit about your roster as you get ready for your season to begin, your first scrimmage on Saturday. Teams that are successful often have very strong senior classes and senior leadership. Mm-hmm. This is a strong senior group. You want to start, you can talk about your three captains, but the senior class in general?
Yeah, the senior class in general, I mean, they're going to be a driving force for us this year. They're a very talented group. They were highly touted when they came in to Princeton, and they have been contributors and starters on our team, most of them for, you know, 3 or 4 years. So, you know, and they've had a lot of success here. They haven't known anything other than winning an Ivy regular season championship, and they've won a couple of Ivy League tournaments and advanced in the NCAA. So they're hungry, and they're hungry for more. And I think one of the best things about that class is that we have leadership throughout the field. You know, we have two of our captains, Noni Anderson and Alex Argo, are, you know, our leaders on defense. And, you know, she's such a competitor. She's the fastest kid basically on any field when we come to play. And I think she's going to play an even bigger role for us in transition and hopefully be able to put up even more numbers this year, starting fast breaks and finishing fast breaks out of transition. And Alex Argo, who has been a leader on the line defense really since she came here. I mean, she's such a tough competitor, very smart, communicates well down there. We'll be relying on both of them to lead a unit that is pretty young with them and a number of sophomores.
Young, but with a lot of experience.
Young, but with a lot of experience. Yeah, last year we had the two juniors, Noni and Argo, and then three freshmen primarily in that unit. So those freshmen got a lot of experience.
Who all played well.
Who all played very well, absolutely. So I think, you know, the defensive unit should be a strength for us this year. And then you've got Sam Fish backstopping us in the cage. And
you know, if you go back 12 months, you're thinking, all right, well, who's my goalie going to be?
Exactly.
Replacing Ellie DeGarmo, who was a two-time first-team All-American. Now you have all of a sudden Sam Fish emerges, and now you have the rock back there now.
We really do, and it's great to think we have her for the next three seasons. It's the biggest difference in our team, I think, from last year to this year, is that we have that goalkeeping position not only solidified, but solidified by an exceptional goalie. And she just continues to get better and better. And that allows your defense to take a few more risks and to just know that, hey, a kid might get through, might beat a double team, but Sam has a good shot of making the save.
And we, you know, you talked about your three sophomore defenders, Donovan and Murphy, right?
Yeah, Mary.
And so I didn't want to forget anybody.
And Pugh and March. Yeah. Those three really had impactful seasons for us last year. Mary Murphy making the Ivy All-Tournament team, Marge Donovan leading the team in draw controls from the circle, and I believe in calls turnovers as well. And you had Pugh, who had a really good year last year, but this year she's just another level. She's so smart. She takes really good risks, and her level of play and her intensity each and every practice has definitely elevated our defense. And you also have Maddie Stasic, who came off the bench when Noni got injured last year and got a lot of good minutes at the end of the season and in tournament time. And so we actually have good options defensively as well this year, in addition to just a strong starting core.
So also last year was the two big graduation losses were Ellie in goal, and then Olivia Hump, who was the all-time leading scorer in the history.
Well, that was 2 years ago, right?
No, so, I meant going into last
going
year.
Into
so
last
like,
year.
So
yeah,
from two
absolutely.
Years ago to last year, so 2 years ago when you had a Hump,
yeah.
You know, you figure you're going to have a drop-off leaving your all-time leading scorer, and that last year actually scored more goals than the year before. And you bring back a lot of offense.
We do. I think that should be a strength for us this year. I mean, our attacking unit, we just have some incredibly quick and talented and powerful kids who are really skilled. You've got Elizabeth George, our other tri-captain this year, who we're moving from a midfield position to an attack position, so that we'll have her in every attacking set rather than, you know, half of the attacking sets as we go through, though we still expect she'll take a lot of draws for us. And then Testy Orsi, I mean, that kid is just so quick. Her moves are, she's so hard to contain. And then you have, how can you not mention Kyla Sears, right? Our return, a second team All-American as a freshman, our leading scorer, broke the Princeton freshman records, the Ivy League freshman records for scoring. And she's a kid who can just hurt you in so many different ways.
And D'Orsi, she's only a junior. She seems like she's been here a while.
Yeah. Tess really broke out last year. Her freshman year, she started with a bang and then kind of fell off a little bit, maybe had a little confidence issues. But last year, she was great. And then this year, she's just a cut above. She's going to be really tough for opposing defenders. And being a lefty, I mean, that really helps in the offense as well.
So in the midfield, you have a lot of options as well.
Yeah.
You have returning players, and that's where you're deepest with your freshman class.
Yeah, I think that's the area that we lost the most in last year. You know, having graduated Ellie McNulty, who was key on the center draw for us and also a reliable scorer, and Camille Sullivan, who was really the heart and soul of the team, our emotional, vocal leader, just such a hard-nosed kid who was always pushing herself and pushing the team. So the loss of those two, you know, we will feel that through the midfield. But we've got Catherine Hallett. I feel like she's playing her best lacrosse of her career with Noni. Is just lightning fast. You know, we have Annie Corey, who is a really good ball handler and who can put the ball in the net. We have Izzy Mengen, a senior for us, who, you know, played sporadically. She had been injured for 2 years, but she'll give us good depth. And then a slew of freshmen. We've got five freshmen who could potentially contribute in the midfield.
What's your sense of them? How long will it take for some of them to emerge?
Yeah, well, I think they're going to emerge immediately.
Well, you're going to have to throw them into the fire.
Yeah, they're going to be thrown in the fire right away. But, you know, they're really picking it up. And just to be in practice consistently, where we're out there 6 days a week, we're practicing every day, the carryover from one day to the next.
Not every day. You do take the NCAA mandated day off.
Well, I said 6 days a week. So, every day except the one day off a week. Just to have that consistency, they're getting better and better and better. I think for most middies coming in as freshmen, the toughest aspect to learn is the defensive end, because they haven't necessarily really been coached all the defensive techniques and fundamentals and systems. And so they just have a lot to learn at both ends. They got to learn your offensive systems, your defensive systems. They got to be good in transition. So at times their heads can be spinning, but they'll settle in as the season goes. And fortunately, they're competitors. And that's really the most important thing when you get on the field.
So the scrimmage this Saturday is what time?
Scrimmage is at 11 a.m.
Dress warm,
16-degree wind chill. I just got a text this morning from Sarah Lloyd, who's one of our alums. She's a pro player and one of our alums on the NIAC team. She's like, all the NIAC players are wondering if we're going to be in the bubble. She's like, they're hoping. I'm like, well, Sarah, I think we're going to be outside. So she's like, okay, we'll dress warmly.
I forgot about that. The bubble is year two of the bubble, and sort of take it for granted now, but that's a big plus.
Oh, it's such a huge plus. I mean, the first 2 days of our preseason, when we had double sessions and it was really bitter wind chills, you know, minus 10 or whatever when you woke up in the morning, just to be able to get four practices in over those 2 days in really picture-perfect conditions was just so helpful for our start. And even though we've been so lucky, this whole week has been very mild. Kids are out in short sleeves and shorts at the start of practice.
It's interesting because the bubble is new, and if you didn't have the bubble when it was really bitterly cold, like it was 10 degrees there for a while, you don't have a lot of good options at that point.
No.
But what's really interesting is that it's so shiny and brand new still, but half of your team doesn't know any different.
That's very true. They don't remember all those, you know, days of maybe morning practices in the baseball and softball pit, or moving the mats. There used to be mats up on the indoor track and practicing on that surface, you know, from 9 to 11 at night. I mean, the older alums, they have a lot of stories to tell.
So that's a pretty good look at the roster and where it stands. We talked a little bit about the schedule, and we talked about being here every Thursday. So I think that's a pretty good first edition of the Chris Saylor Show for this week. And then we'll come back next week looking ahead. We'll talk a little bit about the scrimmage, how that went. And we'll look ahead to Temple. And then Virginia is the second game after that. And then it's Penn State. So it's the trip to Virginia, Penn State's home. So some really good games coming up here. And we'll have a chance to talk about all that. And we'll talk every Thursday as the season goes along.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Chris. And for Chris Saylor, I'm Jerry Price. Thanking you for joining us here for the Chris Saylor Show, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Lacrosse.